So I would like everybody to just read the verse like in our order. Like Sunny will start with the first verse when I asked you to read it. And then Kylie, Castine, and just go around the room. Okay?
Reference so that if someone's listening, they can.
Yes, absolutely, I will.
This is I'm trying to think.
Okay, come to me is the title of my presentation. So everything requires effort, and almost everything we do exhausts us. We shouldn't be surprised, because striving and work was a verdict after the fall. Life is toil, and toil is ceaseless. Life is hard. We are occasionally betrayed by friends. Our children often walk away from the Lord. We struggle with making ends meet. And we have conflict with our families, with our husbands, etc. We're constantly fighting our emotional inner battles, resisting selfishness, bitterness, and unforgiveness, wondering if we measure up, wrestling with things of the past and fearing the future. There is no rest for the Christian in this world. There will always be something to disturb, perplex, or distress him. We live in the enemy's land. There is much that makes us feel weary. But Jesus reminds us, in the world you will have tribulation. But take heart, I have overcome the world. This is John 16:33. So Jesus said in Matthew 11:28-30, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Prior to Jesus making this amazing offer, he was rebuking the Jewish leaders. That was in Matthew 15. For they were not only rejecting his rest, but what they taught were traditions that added more burdens on the people and more guilt and shame. This invitation flowed from his grief over watching unbearable burdens being heaped on people and from his compassionate desire to bear their burdens for them. So come was one of the greatest invitations that ever came from Jesus' lips. It's a merciful invitation. He doesn't push me away in annoyance. He is not impatient, and he does not dismiss me. He just says, come. He wants us to go to him in our pain, our confusion, our sorrows, our anxieties, our angst, as well as with our joys and our triumphs. Jesus is waiting for you and me. To the wanting heart, he says, come down, as he said to Zacchaeus in Luke 19:5. That was to the wanting heart. To the wandering heart, he says, come and see, as he did to John and Andrew in John 1:39. To the dead in heart, he says, come forth, as he did to Lazarus in John 11:43. But to the weary heart, he says, come unto me. He doesn't say go to church, to an organization, to a philosophy, or to anything else, but to him and him alone. He's not telling us to do this or to do that, or wait until we improve ourselves, but simply come to the Son of God. He doesn't tell us to go and get ready. He asks us to come with all of our sins. He asks us to come as we are. You feel unfit? You say you're not good enough? Do you feel vile and unworthy to come? Well, tell it to Jesus. Do you feel as if you do not know what to say? and do when you do come? Tell it to Jesus. Tell him you are all sin. Tell him you are all weakness. Tell him you feel as if you have no faith, no power, no grace, no strength, and no goodness. But come to him and commit your soul to his charge. There's more bad news. Every man bears a burden, and the burden is how to please himself. He is seeking to find satisfaction in life. He pursues wealth and power and pleasure and passions, which become a yoke around his neck. All the worldly things that people are driven by bring unrest to their souls. Those who burden themselves with anxiety want everything to be perfect and right in a fallen world. When we are living in a life without God, there is a discontent in our soul that can only be filled by coming to Jesus. We are called not to love the world or the things of the world. So, Sunny, you're on 1 John 2:15 to 17.
Okay.
And it's printed out
here.
Right here.
Do not love the world, the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and the pride of life, and is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is a passing away along with its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever.
So the first time we come is with salvation, and we receive eternal life. And after we are saved, there is a need for every saint who wearies in their struggle to live in their own strength, the Christian life, to come and depend on Christ. The questions that I'm asking, I ask myself. So I ask myself frequently, well, how often do I spurn his invitation? And how often do I live with disregard for God and his word? Often. The next section is to me. To me means to me alone and not to another. Jesus states, he alone throughout this passage, I will give my yoke. Learn of me. I am gentle, my yoke, my burden. So who's invited? All who labor and are heavy laden, regardless of who you are and where you come from. The invitation is to all. Jesus feels the same compassion towards those of us who are heavy laden today as he did back in the day. He directs his call to the heavy burden, to the weak and not to the strong. God is ever opposed to the proud, but he stands ready to give abundant grace to the humble of heart. The next verse is Luke 18:13, and this is about the tax collector who is ever so humble. And my desire is to be just like this tax collector. So, Kylie?
But the tax collector, standing far off, would not often lift up his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified, rather than the other. Everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted.
So the all is restricted by Jesus, and it is not for those who are content with their sin. They don't see the need to come. They're happy doing their own thing, and they're happy living life without him. They reject Jesus as the Son of God. Our sins separate us from God. So, Castine, you're on Isaiah 59:1-2.
Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, or his ear dull that it cannot hear, but your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear.
So who is invited are those who are willing to come. So how do we come? Matthew 18:3, Elizabeth?
Yes. Truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of God.
Having faith like a child requires putting aside our will. It requires humility and trust. So we come by faith and trust in Jesus. We make him our number one priority in life. We let go of everything and deliberately commit all to him. So Hebrews 11:6, Angie.
And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him.
Okay, next verse, Romans 4:2-3.
For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness.
So we come by faith, and faith comes by hearing the word of God. That's Romans 10:17. Jesus is the eternal word of God. John 1:1. We trust him as we hear the gospel of Christ, which is the power of God to save everyone who believes. And that's Romans 1:16. On this solid rock we stand and shall not be moved. And that's Psalm 62:6-7. Humble, with nothing to offer, and completely dependent on him and by faith. That's how we come. The next section, take my yoke upon you. He wasn't giving people another load. He is inviting us to get into his yoke. The yoke was designed for two animals. The instrument was used to bring the strength of two animals together in order to pull a load that was impossible for one animal to pull on its own. The two animals on which the yoke was placed were different. One of the animals was always more experienced than the other. Thus, the second animal became somewhat of a learner. The experienced animal was schooled in the commands of the master. The animal provided the direction, leadership, help, and training for the unlearned member of the team. Just as the master would use the yoke to help his oxen under control and to guide them to perform useful work, we are surrendering ourselves to his control and his guidance so that he might lead us into the spiritual works that have been planned for us before the foundation of the world. Okay, I'm on Ephesians 2:10.
For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them.
So take my yoke upon you. This yoke is not laid upon us by another, but one which we are to place upon ourselves. It is a specific choice we make, an act of conscious surrender to his authority, therefore to be ruled by him. To take Christ's yoke upon us signifies the setting aside of my own will and completely submitting to his sovereignty and allow him to guide and direct our lives. A relationship to him is not absent of work. What is this easy yoke slash work that Jesus offers us? So John 16:28-29. I think that's Elizabeth.
Then they said to him, what must we do to be doing the works of God? And Jesus answered them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent.
And to his disciples on the night before he died, he said, abide in me. And this is John 15:4.
Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine. neither can you unless you abide in me.
So, believe in him, abide in him, trust him. This is the work Jesus requires of those who would find rest in him. Jesus wants us to live by faith in him, to rest on the hope-giving promises of God. Are we fighting the yoke that Jesus has given us? Do we say, I want to give all of myself to you, I am weary? What causes our unrest? Are we being controlled by other people's opinions, success, money, entertainment, whatever? If you don't have rest, you are yoked to something other than Jesus. And how often do we feel that? If you don't have rest, you are yoked to something other than Jesus. So we are to learn from him. Proverbs 1:7.
The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction.
We are to accept whatever God has spoken and receive it as true, simply on the authority of the speaker. Christ was given all authority from the Father, authority to forgive sins, and authority over everything that happens. That's why we need to learn from him. He has all wisdom and all authority. So I'm on Matthew 7:28-29.
And when Jesus finished these sayings, the crowds were astonished at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one who had authority and not as their scribes.
We are to read the word, meditating on it day and night and praying over it. This requires us to be sitting at the feet of Jesus. And I love this Luke passage 10:39-42, because I am so much of a Martha. And I would love to be a Mary. So that's why I had to choose this verse. So, Luke 10:39-42.
And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she went up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her.
He is gentle and lowly in heart. The word gentle means humble or meek, which was a contrast to the religious leaders. The religious leaders were prideful. They loved places of honor. They loved special titles and the exercise of authority over others. And that was in Matthew 23:5-12. Whereas Jesus is kind, tender, compassionate, and humble. So I'm on Philippians 2:5-8.
Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross.
And then Mark 10:43-45.
Whoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant, and whoever of you desires to be first shall be slave to all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many.
Yeah, is that our thought? Do we serve others? Jesus perfectly defined humbleness with one sentence. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. And that's Luke 22:42. The word lowly means base, cast down, humble, of low degree, estate, lowly. So Hebrews 2:17-18.
Therefore, he had to be made like his brothers in every respect, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For because he himself has suffered when tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted.
Okay, and then Sunny, you are Hebrews 4:15.
For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who is in every respect has been tempted as we are, and yet without sin.
Jesus, our great high priest, understands us completely. So whenever we are in need, we should come bravely before the throne of our merciful God. There we will be treated with undeserved grace, and we will always find help from him. So, rest for your souls. We deeply long for rest for our souls, which are the hardest burdens to bear. Often these soul burdens are false beliefs, half-truths we believe about God and ourselves and others and the world and the future and life that weigh down our hearts with sorrow, fear, anxiety, discouragement, or despair. His desire is that we find rest that we so desperately need, which is a rest only he can give. When Israel took their eyes off of God and his trustworthy promises, their faith began to turn to fear. And then they provoked God so that they were denied the very thing that he had initially promised, but which was to be obtained only by faith, faith that obeys. The majority decision to not go into the land was evidence of Israel's disbelief and disobedience. Their failure to believe was not of ignorance, but of stubbornness, and thus they were refused rest instead wandering for 40 years in the wilderness. And Kylie, you're on Hebrews 3.
And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who were disobedient? So we see that they were unable to enter because of unbelief. Hebrews 3:18-19.
So how often do we struggle with unbelief? Do we take every thought captive to him? How often do we forget to ask God to help us? Do we attach ourselves to him and pray for power and strength to be obedient to his word? So how do we get rest for our souls? We can't buy it, and we don't deserve it. It comes freely to all who believe. It costs him dearly. The Son of God made us free. We have been forgiven of all of our sins. As believers, we have no fear of the wrath to come, death, or judgment. All the right things for our rest have been done for us. So why are our souls still in turmoil? Do we have unconfessed sins in our lives? Do we live as those of the world? Are we still dealing with our own pride? Do we have faith and believe that God will meet us where we are? Will we trust him? Do we keep picking up our issues, whatever they are, and dwelling on them after we've gone and asked for forgiveness? Are we anxious and fretting? If so, we can't have rest. If our focus is on the world and not on God, then our rest goes away. When we don't look to the Master, we will always be in a state of turmoil. So Colossians 3:2.
Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth.
And then 1 John 2:15-17.
Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world, and the world is passing away along with its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever.
So the more we believe and trust God promises, the more rest will grow. And then Philippians 4:11-13.
Not that I am speaking of even me, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me.
Do we really believe that He is in every circumstance, whatever is happening, whether good or bad, that He's in control of it? And can we trust whatever happens and be content with it? God's unmerited perfect rest can only be entered into by faith, which is expressed through obedience. There is not a fretful soul in the world who is trusting God. But believers in Jesus feel that God may do as He likes with them. We can choose to take upon ourselves the burdens of the world or to be yoked with Jesus. Christ's teachings are true, and we will find rest when we follow Him. Daily, we must learn of Christ and obey His teachings so we can find rest and peace for our souls. We do this by going to the Word, by feeding on it, and allowing the Spirit to guide us along the way. Do you accept His invitation daily by coming to Him in faith and obedience? So Jesus said, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And then I have a Paul trip to read. That was really awesome. This was September the 5th. God's care is sure, but will you run to Him in your time? God's care is sure, but will you run to Him in your time of need or look elsewhere for hope and comfort? By His promises, God invites us to run to Him. Cast all your anxieties on Him, because He cares for you. That's 1 Peter 5:7. He has said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." Hebrews 13:5. "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Matthew 11:28-30. "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" Psalms 27:1. "He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youth shall faint and be weary, and young man shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." It's Isaiah 40:29-31. "And my God will supply every need of yours according to His riches in glory of Christ Jesus." Philippians 4:19. "Cast your burdens on the Lord, and He will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved." That's Psalm 55:22. These are just a small representation of God's words of invitation and welcome. He really is the Father of mercies and God of all comfort. He can do for you what no one else can do. He has power that no one else possesses. He is able and willing to meet you in your moments of need, even when that need is self-inflicted. He will never mock you in your weakness. He will not stand idly by and sarcastically say, "I told you so." He finds no joy in your suffering. He is full of compassion. He abounds in mercy. He will never walk away disgusted. He will never use your weakness against you. He has no favorites and shows no partiality. He never grows tired. He never becomes impatient. He will never quit because he's had enough. He will never refuse to give you what he promised because you've messed up so badly. He is just as faithful to all of his promises on your very worst day as he is on your very best day. He doesn't ask you to earn his compassion or to do things to gain his mercy. He knows how weak and fickle your heart is. Yet, he continues to move towards you with unrelenting and empowering grace. He delights in meeting your needs. He finds joy in bringing peace to your heart. He really is everything that you need. Why would you run anywhere else in your time of weakness or trouble? That's it.
Thanks so much for sharing.
You're welcome.
Do you want to pray for us?